Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, in life, we have and experience many kinds of pains. In physical pains, emotional pains, spiritual pains. Today, my beloved wife has been nursing a cold or allergies or something or other for the last couple of weeks, and it's made it difficult for her to talk. And one could say it has made it difficult for her to boss me around. So that's been difficult for her. But others suffer in different ways. I know our dear sister in Christ, Yvonne, was struggling with shingles for several weeks. I have a pastor friend, in fact, several pastor friends, who are dealing with depression on a regular basis. And this has been going on for years. Pain does different things to different people. Some people, and when pain comes on them, they turn to drugs or alcohol to try to cover it up. Others ignore it and bury it, thinking it'll go away, except ultimately, anything buried alive is going to be resurrected. Some people turn to church, not God, but they turn to church to ease their pain. They do this because they see smiling faces on television churches. They see pastors who smile and promise nothing but wonderful things in their lives. But is this the real view of the Christian life? Well, according to God's word, the answer is no. In all of our readings, but in particular in today's epistle reading from Hebrews, we see that where there is no pain, there is no gain. And the way through pain to gain is by keeping our eyes on Jesus. So this morning, we're going to address three things. The first thing we're going to address is that pain is a reality. The second is that almost all pain or all gains come through pain. And the way Christians make it through the pains of life is to see their pain in light of the cross. So will you bow your heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each heart, may it be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the things that we can glean from all of our readings, but in particular our epistle reading today, is that pain, P-A-I-N, pain is a reality. Let me ask you, what was the most painful event in your life? Each person will have a different answer. Maybe it was a divorce. Maybe you suffered some form of abuse or neglect. For me, it was 7 years ago. My mother died April 2012. Tanya's dad died July 2012. My dad died the 1st of August, 2012, and the 1st of October that very same year, I felt the knife of betrayal from my very best friend in the whole world, whom I loved like a brother, causing a whole host of people to turn their back on me, and that lasted until 8 months, until the truth came to light. And they realized that it was all made up. As I get to know many of you, I know that we each have our own pain that we deal with. No matter what pain you name, here's the reality, is that all of our pain is sin related. You see, sin has marred everything God created. One of the ways the effects of sin shows up and our life is through pain. It may not be sin that we did. It could be the sin of others. Nevertheless, one of the ways it percolates to the top is through pain. We can deny it. We can ignore it. But that does not deal with it. Eventually, the root problem must be dealt with. So how do you deal with that very real pain that is part of your life today? Do you turn to the Word of God for answers? Maybe you deny that there's even a problem. Or do you just try to ignore the problem, hoping it'll go away? Maybe you turn to church for answers. Maybe you have joined this church thinking that by becoming a Christian, you can get rid of all of your problems and all of your pain. But the truth of the matter is that you have only signed up for more pain in this life, not less. You see, there is a pain associated with being a Christian. Jesus himself said it in our gospel reading today, that he came to bring division, that the word of the gospel of our salvation is a very divisive word, a very problematic word. And the truth of the matter is that the devil will use our pain to set a trap for us, if we're not careful, a trap that is designed to cause us to fall away from the faith, if that were possible. So let's look at some of the greatest people of the faith and ask this question: how did they get through the pain? I think the answer might surprise you a little bit. First, the first example that is given in today's reading is Abraham. He's often called the father of the faithful. Yet even the father of the faithful had his shares of trials and pain along the way. I mean, imagine this. At 100 years old, he and his wife, Sarah, who was 90, had a child by the name of Isaac. And one of the most painful moments in Abraham's life is recorded in Genesis chapter 22, where God commanded Abraham to take his only son, Isaac, his beloved son that God promised, and to sacrifice him on the altar to him, to present him before the Lord as an offering. And just before, and Abraham obeyed, and he was almost ready to plunge the knife into his son's chest, whom he bound up, who I'm sure that teenager by this time had no idea what was going on. How did Abraham make it through that trial? Well, verse 19 gives us the answer. And here's the answer. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. See, even in the most difficult of circumstances, Abraham's focus was on God rather than on the circumstances. The second example in this section was Moses. Moses may not come to your mind when you think of suffering and pain, but think about it in this way. Consider that Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's household, was brought up in a very cultured household. He had the best of all things in life. Yet his compassion for his people, God's people, the Hebrews, led him out of the palace and into the desert of Midian, where he tended sheep for 40 years. You see, Moses suffered because he trusted God more than he loved his position and power. He looked forward to what was ahead of him rather than what was behind him. The third example in our Hebrews reading today are the prophets and the patriarchs. Verses 29 through 38, we find a third example of pain in these people. I mean, when you have a chance, reread over that list and find how these faithful men and faithful women learn what they went through, learn the pain that they suffered. Can I see a show of hands? Is there anyone who would volunteer today to be stoned? I mean, with rocks. Not with other things, with rocks. Anyone volunteer for that? How about being sawed in two? Any takers to being sawed in two? Really? Wow. How about being scourged? That's what Jesus went through before he was crucified. When they whipped him, they scourged him. How about imprisoned for being a Christian? You ready for that? How about being mocked for being a Christian? Or how about having life so bad that you've got to disguise yourself as an animal, and so you wear clothes of goat skins? You live in a cave. Or maybe you're caught and you're tortured. Are there any takers for any of that? Wow. You see, all of these patriarchs and these prophets went through various sorts of things like this. And they were able to endure because their focus was heavenward. They kept their eyes on things above, not on things on earth, because they knew the prize was heavenward. You see, they suffered all kinds of pain in this life, pains that you and I cannot even imagine. When I try to think about what that might be like, I can't even get my arms around that. Yet they knew an important truth. And the truth is this, that God is faithful. And where there is pain, there is also gain. Football players understand this. Preseason is happening right now, so my wife tells me. They go through an awful lot. They lift weights. They work out. They practice every day during the season. They endure injuries all along the way. And why on earth do they do that? Not for the millions of dollars that they earn, though that's not bad. But they do it because they hope to go to the Super Bowl. They hope to go to the Super Bowl and win the championship. That's what they're going for. And the same is true in our spiritual lives. Apart from pain, there is no gain. And for us Christians, it's not a question of if we're going to suffer. The only questions are when and how. You see, the way Christians can make it through the pains of life is to see their pains in the light of the cross. All the people that are listed in this passage in Hebrews have two things in common. They were all sinners, and they all had faith. But there is something that they did not have, that you and I do have. What they did not have is something that they longed for, and something that you and I possess. You see, they knew the Messiah was coming, and they longed for that time of his coming. But you and I can now look back. We can look back to the cross of Jesus, and we can see another one of God's promises fulfilled. We can look back to the cross of Jesus, and we can see there that our pain is dealt with once and for all. And as we look back, we remember what the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53. He said that our pains were nothing compared to the pain that he bore on our behalf. Just listen to what he said. He said, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Even the psalmist has a beautiful reminder in Psalm 55, verse 22, where he writes, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken." This word cast is in Greek grammar is called an imperative. An imperative is often seen as a command, such as take out the trash. It's a command. But this particular imperative falls into the classification of what is known as a gospel imperative, which says, instead of take out the trash, it says, come here because I have something for you. You see, gospel imperatives are intended to be a great source of comfort in our time of suffering. Come here, I have something for you. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken. Dear friends, as we continue this journey of life, this race of life, there's going to be trials. We're going to suffer trials and tribulations. We're going to go through times of pain. But how can we endure it? We endure it by looking to the cross. We endure it by looking to Jesus, keeping all eyes on Jesus, who is now seated in heaven. He is seated in heaven at the finish line. And there we focus upon him. Our pain doesn't go away, but we can bear it because we now know what Jesus did for us. And we see the beauty of what's coming for us as well. We can cast our burden upon the Lord because he will see us through the pain and the suffering that we are living in today. And his promises are fulfilled in us, all because of Jesus. So all eyes on Jesus and all things in life. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.